And I'll be reading from the ESV version. And the word of God says this. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. Hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he cried out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, recover your sight. Your faith has made you well. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, as I decrease, you increase into me, that I'm able to bring your word with power and authority that would cause lives to change and help them to reflect on what it means to intentionally cry out to you when they're in dire need. When they're stuck between a rock and a hard place, what will they do? And so we ask that you put the hearts at ease right now so they're able to receive what I have for them this morning. We ask all these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Please be seated. First, I'd like to give thanks to Pastor and First Lady Nora. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to stand before your people. And to my family that's sitting there, Trinity, now in the ninth grade, and how fast she have grown. My son DeAndre and mother-in-law Vanika, and last but not least, my lovely wife that continues to cover me with her prayers and stuff. So, God has given me a word this morning to bring. But through this message, I want you to make sure that you get a nugget. Okay? It's going to be a lot of information, as Pastor said, and you got to sit through something to get that nugget that will sustain you when you go out in the world or go out these doors. And so as I bring the word, please think about that nugget that would help you through your life. Again, let's go into the word this morning. And have you ever felt like you were just shouting into the wind? Felt like your voice ain't nothing but a whisper, lost in the storm? Have you ever felt like nobody, and I mean nobody, hears your cry? Well, I got good news for you this morning. We're going to uncover the power of a precise cry, a deliberate cry, a powerful cry, a intentional cry to Jesus in your time of need. In your time of need, an intentional cry. How many of you have ever felt overwhelmed? I know I have. Felt that the weight of the world was pressing down, crushing me, leaving no choice but to cry out to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Tears streaming, heart aching, a silent internal cry of anguish and grief. It's a deeply human experience, ain't it? We cry when we hurt. We cry when we're in pain. We cry when we grieve a lost one. And sometimes we cry when we're alone. And there's nothing wrong with that. That all is part of our feelings. But today, hallelujah, today I want to talk about a different kind of cry. Not a silent cry. Not a private cry you want to hold deep down inside you and not want to let it out, but a cry that is louder, a cry that will break through some noise that is in your ear, a cry that is intentional, a cry that will be heard by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, this is no cry of weakness. A lot of times people want to associate that you'll cry out that you're weak. This cry is of strength, a a cry of faith, a cry of desperation that say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need something right now. That is that type of cry I want to bring to you today. See, life throws storms at us all. Some of you might be in a storm right now. But what happens when the waves threaten to pull us under? What happens when the devil tries to drown you in your doubt and your despair? So I tell you what happened. We reach for a lifeline. And today we're going to explore that lifeline that is offered in Psalms 34. Psalms 34 and 17. Please turn with me there. That intentional cry to Jesus, a cry that unlocks his promises of deliverance. Unlocks his promises, not what somebody else has promised you, but our Lord and Savior promised. Psalms 34, verse 17 states this. The righteous crowd. Who? The righteous crowd. And the Lord hears them. He also what? Delivers them from all their troubles. Not one of your troubles, not two, not 100, but what? All of your troubles. He will deliver you from. But it's something that's tied to that. It's something tied to that. Righteous. Okay? Righteousness is tied to that. Now, my brothers and sisters, this is not just a pretty sentiment. This is a powerful truth lifeline thrown to us in the midst of that storm. But let's unpack this verse. What does it really mean to cry out? What does it really mean to be righteous in this context of this promise? Are you just yelling out to the sky, hoping that someone somewhere is listening? No, that is not the type of cry that we want. So I say to you that this psalm speaks to an intentional act, a deliberate act that's turning towards God, a precise type of cry that unlocks the power in divine deliverance. See, the righteous crowd, a heart postured towards God. So this verse mentioned righteous. Now, don't you misunderstand that this, think you got to be perfect before you can approach the throne of God for grace. See, we all have fallen short. It says it in Romans. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But with this righteousness here ain't about sinless perfection. It's about a heart that is towards, orientated towards God, that is leaning towards God, that is directed towards God. That is the righteousness that we're talking about. It's about acknowledging our dependence on him, seeking his will, and striving to live a life that reflects his love. A life that reflects his grace, his mercy, the things that he has for you, the fruit of the Spirit. Those are the things that I'm talking about. So you want to imagine this sunflower. A sunflower constantly turning its face towards the sun. That is the posture of a righteous heart. A continuous turning towards God, seeking his light and his warmth. It's a posture of humility, of dependency, of recognizing that we cannot do anything without him in our life. This righteousness ain't earned. You can't earn this righteousness. This righteousness is freely given to you if you are a believer in Christ Jesus. And what else in this world do you get for free? Sometimes you can't even get a drink of water for free. But you can get this for free. You can get this for free. So if you already on this path of leaning, headed towards God, towards his light, towards his warmth. You already got part of this verse already taken care of. More than just whining. Now, let's talk about this crowd. You know, this ain't just a casual complaint. It ain't a brief moment of frustration. It's not simply whining about the problems to anyone who would listen. You know, some of you just pick up the phone, you're just going through a little bit of trouble, and you pick up the phone. This is not that type of cry I'm talking about. Okay? This is a focus. This is a intentional. This is a deliberate, heartfelt plea to God. You know, think about a child that is lost in a crowd, trying to find a mom or a dad. Think about that cry. You think they whispering, mom, dad? Or you think they are, mom, dad, to block out the noise so that they can hear you? This is what I'm talking about. That desperate cry when you are alone and don't know where to turn, filled with fear and longing. That is not a whisper of polite. Okay, that is a scream that they will cut through the noise. We all have noise in our ears. We need to be able to cut through those things. Our cry out to God should carry the same urgency and the same desperation. It's a moment of complete vulnerability. Like I said before, sometimes when you're crying out, people think you are weak. No, you are strong. So while we lay bare our burdens, our fears, our anxiety, and our needs before him, in a moment when we acknowledge that, he is our only hope. He is our only source. He is our only strength. It's a cry for help, for guidance, for mercy. This is a cry birthed in faith, believing that he can and he will do what he said in your life. It is that type of cry I'm talking about. A promise of a tentative love. And what happens when the righteous cry out? This verse tells us what? The Lord hears us. He hears us. This ain't no passive observation. It's an active, attentive listening. God don't just vaguely register what you're saying, okay, in your cries. He hears them with compassion. He hears them with empathy. He hears them because he knows you, because you have a relationship with him. He hears your cry and what he want to do with a desire to respond to your cry. He has a desire to respond to your cry. He has a desire. So imagine, you know, my daughter Trinity coming to me with a concern. Not that she have a concern. Well, she does. I don't dismiss her worries. I listen with understanding and offer comfort and guidance to her. This is how God listens to our cries. He hears the unspoken needs, the hidden fears that we have, the deep-seated anxiety that we carry within ourselves. That is what God hears. A promise of liberation is what he's going to give you. And so the verse concludes with the promise that God delivers from all their troubles. Not some, but all your troubles. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that all your problems will magically disappear. That ain't what it's saying. Life still throws you some curveballs. But it does mean that God will provide a way through them. He will give you the strength that you need, the wisdom that you need, the things of peace that you need to get through those things, the courage to face the challenges that comes your way. See, deliverance may come in the form of healing, provision, or a change in your circumstances. But it may also come in the form of inner peace. Inner peace, a renewed sense of hope. or the ability to see our struggles from a new perspective. Sometimes, if you just change your attitude about something, it changes the way you see that problem. A lot of time, our attitude is so raggedy and negative that our problem get bigger than what God can do for you. Change your attitude. Change what you see. Change how you see that problem. God is bigger than that problem. So regardless of that form it takes, God's deliverance is always tailored to our exact need. It is tailored to your exact need and your circumstances. That's what God will do. So I urge you today to embrace the power of an intentional cry. Cultivate a righteous heart, one that is constantly turned towards God. Don't be afraid to cry out. You need to make sure that your heart continue to be towards God. The more you read this word, the more your heart should be turned towards God. And long as you're doing that, you're headed on the right path. And don't be afraid to cry out to him in your moments of need. Guess what? He is listening. Just like I'm listening to Trinity, he is listening. He is listening with compassion. He is ready to deliver you from all your troubles. Not some, but all of your troubles. So let us no longer be silent in our suffering, but let us lift up our voice to the heavens, knowing that our cries are heard by the loving God with power and authority that will change things. So let us find relief. Let us find strength in that promise, in that passage. And let us experience the freedom that comes from trusting in his unwavering love. So the power of crying out to God is vividly demonstrated by Paul and Silas. You know, they weren't ashamed to cry out. In the face of hardship, they turned to prayer and praise. They knew where to turn, and they wasn't ashamed to do it. How many Christians out there today that is ashamed to be heard calling out God in the public? You cannot be ashamed. Even though they were down, they remembered the high power of God. When you feel down and out, do you remember the high power of God? When someone does you wrong, do you remember the high power of God? When you feel alone and nowhere to turn, do you feel the high power of God? Even though they were down, Paul and Silas remembered the high power of God and started their path the right way. So please turn with me to Acts, the book of Acts, the 16th chapter. The books of Acts. The book of Acts, the 16th chapter. And let me set this up. Paul and Silas was traveling and preaching the gospel. They were sent out and preached the gospel. And now they find themselves in Philippi. And they encountered a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much profit by fortune telling. And this slave girl, man, she just followed Paul and Silas all around for several days. Man, imagine someone following you around for several days. Paul got upset, got on Paul's last nerve. You know what Paul did? Paul cast the spirit out of her. But when he did that, it angered some folks. It angered the owners, because they had lost a source of income. The owner seized Paul and Silas and drug them into the city magistrates and accused them of disturbing the peace. Disturbing the peace. Man, if you play your music too loud, you're going to get some disturbing the peace. Imagine after you hollering out, you may disturb some peace. So y'all playing that loud music that you probably don't need to be playing. Turn that stuff down and put something on that's good. So you get arrested for disturbing some peace that you uplift in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And so the magistrates stripped them, beaten, had them stripped and beaten with rods and thrown into prison. They were placed in the inner prison, not just the beginning. You know, myself, Major, and Tyrone, and even Sister Jen went up to the prison last week. And, you know, they got different levels of that prison up there. You got a minimal security, you got a medium security, and then you got a max. And now I hear you even got a super max lockup. And so we just went in the minimal side. So, and even getting in that, we had to go through like, what, four doors? You know, so, hey, so they was way back there. They was locked up. And so that's where they find themselves. And not, they just wasn't just in the inner, but you know what? They also fastened them in stocks, put chains on them, a device used to restrain them. They wanted to make sure they didn't get out. And so let's read Acts, the 16th chapter. Verse 25, I will start. Acts, the 16th chapter, verse 25. The word of God says this. And at midnight, someone say midnight. Paul and Silas prayed and sung praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. Newsflash right here. The magnitude of your cry, the magnitude of your cry for deliverance should be proportionate to the spiritual challenging you are facing. The magnitude of your cry. If you got some things going on in your life, you can't be whispering to God. If you got some things going on in your life, you need to make sure that God hears your cry. Hallelujah. And immediately, all the doors was open. And everyone's bands were loosed. Not just theirs, but everyone. And so when you pray enough, man, it's going to touch some other people's in your life. It's going to touch some family members. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." All of them stayed there. See, Paul and Silas were not just whispering prayers. They were singing hymns loud enough for other prisoners to hear. I told you those different levels of the prison. You got the minimal, the medium, and the max. And they was way back there, probably in the super max. And all the people, they were singing loud enough that the people that was in the medium heard, and they was released. The chain came off of them. The faith, their faith was evident, unashamed, and joyful, even in dire circumstances, at what? Midnight. So I got to tell you something. You know, my mom, you know, when I was 16, 17, you know, I wanted to hang out late at night. And my mom said, "Boy, it ain't nothing good happening at midnight." Boy, it ain't nothing good happening at midnight. How many of you, your mom or your dad done told you that? Okay, all right, I ain't the only one. Ain't nothing good happening at midnight. You know, my mom, and possibly your mom, was referring to midnight hours being being when the worst decisions are made. Bless my mom, so. Well, friends, I'm here to tell you. I'm here to turn that old saying of it on its head, because I'm a believer. I'm here to tell you that some good can happen at midnight. The darkest hour, the deepest night, the moment when the world seems still and quiet, that's when God can move in your situation. That's when God can move in a mighty way. The midnight hour. The midnight hour can be a scary time. But you must remember, 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive them of their sins and will heal their land. So some might say, I've won. I'm here to tell you, when God say you have won, you have won. Not when you say it, but when God says it. So some of you may be still afraid of your midnight hour. Afraid to face the darkness of life. Afraid to cry out in the stillness. But you must pray. Pastor said it last week. Prayer is your weapon against Satan. It's your weapon. So utilize it. And you need to know what's in this Bible. He said in this Bible that he will supply all your needs. All your needs. So you need to make sure that you are not afraid. Not afraid to pray. And not afraid to be delivered. So I'm here with passion and authority from the Lord. Don't be afraid to cry out at midnight. Let the tears flow. Let the pain pour out. Let your voice rise up to heaven. The midnight cry. I'm not talking about no casual ask. The intentional midnight cry. The cry where we are asking God to intervene in our behalf. The midnight hour, you must know, is not the end. The midnight hour is not the end. The midnight hour is the beginning of a new day. The midnight hour is the beginning of a new day. A new day, a new blessing, new mercies, new grace, new victories in your life, new deliverance in your life. The midnight is the beginning of something new for you. His faithfulness would never fail. So we don't need to be having no pity party at midnight. During your midnight hour, you don't need to be having no pity party. Did you see Paul and Silas having a pity party in their midnight hour? No, they were praising and singing to God during their midnight hour. A lot of you want to sit there and have pity parties. They were bruised. They was beaten. They was locked up. We get a little tap on our hand and we want to have a pity party. Somebody want to talk about us, we want to have a pity party. Not in your midnight hour. And if they calling you at midnight and they whining to you, you need to tell them, go to what the word tell you. That he will take care of you. He will deliver you from all your troubles. Hallelujah. Paul and Silas was locked up, beaten, bruised, and bound. Found himself in chains, in darkness, and they didn't have a pity party. Acts 16 and 25 states, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and they sung praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And at midnight, they started praying and singing. And did they cry? No. The Bible tells us that the walls came tumbling down. The chain fell off. And they walked out in freedom. You see what your praise can do? You see what your singing can do? It can give you freedom. There's freedom at midnight. There's joy at midnight. There's love at midnight. There's chains being broken at midnight. There's sickness being removed at midnight. Breakthroughs are happening at midnight. Your midnight hour. Your midnight hour. So let your midnight cries commence. The midnight is upon you. And there's no better time to make the right move. Make the right move. You know what happened at midnight? Hope is ignited at midnight. Miracles are being manifested at midnight. Promises are being fulfilled at midnight. Strength is rising at midnight. Destinies are been raining at midnight. Restoration is happening at midnight. Your victory is being declared at midnight. Demons are being defeated at midnight. New visions are being revealed at what? Midnight. Your purpose may just be revealed at midnight. Healing may flow at midnight. Angels may be ascending at midnight. Barriers are being crumbled at midnight. At midnight, God is with you. God loves you in your midnight hour. He is waiting now with loving arms during your intentional cry at midnight. Now let's go back to our scripture text. Luke 18th chapter. I'm not going to read it again back into your hearing because I believe that you have it. This well familiar text. But I want to continue this journey this morning concerning this blind man. A man who could not see with his eyes, but he saw Jesus with his heart. He was surrounded by a crowd telling him to be quiet. Man, some of those people probably in that crowd were probably his friends. Man, when you're trying to get a blessing through, sometimes your friends can tell you to be quiet. Telling him he wasn't worthy. How many of you have heard that? You ain't worthy of that blessing. You ain't worthy for God to move on your life. You still got to cry out to God in spite of what your friends are telling you. Telling him he was a nuisance. But he wouldn't let those voices silence him. Because he knew what he needed. He knew what he needed. He knew who could provide it for him. He knew those friends that was telling him to be quiet, that crowd that was telling him to be quiet. He knew that they could not give him what he wanted. And he cried out. He cried out even more loud. Man. Man, if your friends are telling you to be quiet, you need to just cry out more. You need to cry out so much that they just leave. They just walk away from you. That's what needs to happen. Man, I know sometimes Adrian just be going in there just crying out. I just go in there. I just go in the other room. I'm like, she cry out to God, and I'm like, okay, she's going at it right now. I'm not going to get in her way. That's what some of your friends need to get out of your way when you're crying out with a loud voice. I lost my spot here. Man, he cried out, Son of David, have mercy on me. I need you. Man, I'm going through some things right now. I ain't worried about these jokers. Man, you got to have a faith-filled cry. Reached out to our Savior, knowing it was his only hope. Man, God is your only hope today. Jesus Christ is your only hope today. You might be have some friends that can help you, but you can't put your hope in them. There's only one person that you need to put your hope in. And that blind man knew that. And so he cried out. So maybe, just maybe, some of you are here today feeling like the blind man, surrounded by darkness, overwhelmed by obstacles, feeling like your voice does not matter. Maybe you've been whispering your prayers. I told you, if you got something going on in your life, you better understand that magnet, that 5 earthquake scale, that's where you might want to get to. If you got some things going on in your life, you just might want to get there. But never truly crying out. Some of us is just keeping it down inside of us and not letting it out. You've been playing it safe in your faith. You know, sometimes we don't want to let loose in church. We want to play it safe and think we're going to get embarrassed because we're hollering out to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we want to play it safe. When your life is on the line, Mike, when your life is on the line, Papa J, you can't worry about your neighbor. You can't worry about your neighbor. You got to cry out and understand. Because he want what? He want a fervent cry. That's what he want. He's looking for a heart that are broken and humble enough to call out to him with everything, with everything that you got. With everything that you got. That's what he's looking for. The blind man didn't get healed by being quiet. He didn't get healed by being polite. He got healed by crying out. He cried out with intention. He cried out with boldness like a lion. And with faith. And what was the result? What was the result? Jesus stopped. Jesus heard. And Jesus healed. Jesus stopped. He heard. And he healed. Jesus stopped. He heard. And he healed. His cry was not in vain. The Lord responded. And I declare to you today that your cry won't be in vain. I'm not talking about feeling sorry for yourself. I'm talking about a gut-wrenching, soul-searching cry of faith. A cry that say, Lord, I can't do this on my own. Lord, I need you. I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place. You're the only one that can deliver me. A cry that say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. A cry that say, Jesus, you are my strong tower. A cry that say, you are the author and finisher of my faith. A cry that say, you are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the beginning and the end. A cry that say, you are my everything. That's what he's looking for. So maybe you are crying out for healing. Physical or emotional cry. Maybe you're crying out for forgiveness. Maybe you're crying out for direction. Maybe you're crying out for a loved one who you lost. And wondering. You know, seven, 8 years ago, something hit me and shook me to my core, my foundation. And I had to realize. But before I realized that, I cried out to Jesus and saying, why me? Why me? And so I cried out and called Adrian. I was down in Pensacola. I had just got the news that I had cancer. And shook me. When you hear that C word, it does some things to you. Okay, put life in perspective. And I called Adrian and I was trying to hold it all together talking to her. But when I got off that phone, man, I was crying like a baby. I was crying like a baby. But I had to remember, I was coming back on Interstate 10 and crying out and said, God, why me? Why at this time? Still a young guy. Well, okay, I thought I was a young guy. Why me? You know, I had just retired. Couple of years back, and I said, why me? And I just started crying out to God. And if cars pull up for me, they thought I was crazy in there. But I was crying out to God with a loud voice. I said, God, I knew where you brought me from. I know where you delivered me from. I know what you did for me. And I cried it out, and it gave me a sense of peace. A sense of peace, a sense of calmness, that you know what? If you delivered me from all those things behind me, I know what you can do for me now. I don't have a doubt what you can do for me. And Marcus have this song queued up for me. And what I want you to do is listen to that song. Well, stand with me and while Marcus play that song, because I think you need to be standing with this song, because I think it's gonna resonate with you. But while that song is being played, I want you to think about this phrase here. What will you do if you know you won't fail? What will you do if you know you won't fail?